Amen. Okay, let's open our Bibles back again to 1 Corinthians. And again, beginning with verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. It's amazing. I've heard this, many people say this over and over again. You know, I've read this passage of Scripture for over 5 years. I've read it, and this is the first time I ever saw this in that passage of Scripture or something. Well, it was amazing as I was preparing my message today how wisdom is addressed in 1 Corinthians so frequently, and especially in these first two chapters. We've talked about this in Bible study. The book of Proverbs has the most occurrences of the word wisdom, but the book of 1 Corinthians is second with the number of times that wisdom is mentioned. Actually, wisdom is mentioned 53 times in the New Testament, and 29 of those times are in Paul's epistles. And I think it is, let me just see here, I have it written down, I think, 18 times in this epistle, Paul addresses wisdom. And I think all of us like to think we're sort of wise, not wisecrack, or whatever they call them, but that we have some wisdom. But as I was reading this, Paul addresses here the wisdom that I was so caught up in my early part of my life was the wisdom of this world. There's all kinds of little adages and proverbs we talk about, like the early bird gets the worm, or there's no free lunch, all those adages that we have taken on. And they seem to make important thoughts in this world. But the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. I'm not suggesting we should be naive in this world. We should be wise in the way we live in this world. But we need to live in this world with the wisdom of God directing our life. And so as we go down through here, we're going to hear this word wisdom a lot. And so starting with verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or them that are mature. Now, I never made this connection before, but Paul's going to make the connection for me in just a second. It goes on to say, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. And so we could add there, not the wisdom of this world, nor the wisdom of the princes of this world. Who are the princes of this world? Satan and his demonic hordes. This is Satan's world. You know, the world doesn't want to believe that in their wisdom. But the Bible teaches very clearly this is a present evil world in which Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And so Paul's not speaking to them in that kind of wisdom, not the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of the princes of this world. And then he goes on to say that come to naught. All of that one of these days is going to be up in a puff of smoke. But before that, we're going to be long gone. And that's what Paul's going to teach us as we study his letters. But here in verse 7 is what I want to start out with really focusing in on. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And remember that word mystery is not like some science eerie thing, or God works in mysterious ways or anything like that at all. It is simply Paul saying, we speak the wisdom of God in a secret. Now let's go back up to the very beginning of this verse 6 again. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. What he's saying is, we speak the secret among them that are mature. We speak the revelation of this hidden body of truth to those that are mature. And that's why this church is established here, to preach and teach that mystery or that revelation called the gospel of the grace of God that God had kept hidden. In all of Scripture until the Apostle Paul, there is no other writer that talks about this present day that we're living in. And that's so important to understand that it's called a parenthesis. But I like to look at it as the heart of God's revelation to the human race. That everything else is really on the outside of it, for sure. But this is something that God had planned before He ever created it. And so, really, if you look at it from that perspective, it's for our glory that He planned it, promised it, and brought it into reality. And it reminds me of the story about having been involved with sports in high school and everything. You came to realize that as far as the band director, the marching band director, that they were the center of the night. The football was just some dressing that was going on beside it. It's how they looked at how important their little thing was. And in reality, it was the football game that they were there for at halftime. Well, it's just the opposite with us. I really believe that we're living in the purpose that God ordained for before the foundation of the world. That He created this world so that one day He could reveal this marvelous gospel of His grace. And that's what makes the preaching and teaching of this secret so wonderful. When you start to understand what grace is really all about, when you really understand that you were saved by grace, when you really understand that you stand in grace today, you will not find that anyplace else in the Scriptures, but in this revelation of the wisdom of God that Paul taught. You won't find it anyplace else. You just don't. And so that's what Paul's speaking among them that are mature, this revelation called the mystery, the wisdom of God in a mystery. Back to verse 7 again. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, if you truly have trusted Him, believing that He died, He who knew no sin, bore your sins on that cross, and He paid the price for your sins, and it's more than just knowing that in your head, it's believing it in your heart and trusting it with all your being. I have no other confidence in my life in any aspect that I will ever be able to stand before God except by the work of Jesus Christ on my behalf. And there's nothing I can do to improve that, nothing I can do to change that in any way. That when I put my faith in Christ, God sealed me unto the day of redemption. And I am secure in Christ, and that's a marvelous gospel of grace that no other writer in Scripture really understood. It was given to Paul to make that known. And that is the wisdom of God. And so Paul talks about wisdom, and he uses it in this epistle in a negative sense more than in a positive sense, because he talks about the wisdom of words. It's amazing today, and listen, I want to make a disclaimer or a preface to this message and to my preaching and teaching. I take no credit in anything that I preach or teach. It's simply the Word of God and what I believe concerning that. And if anything I know is the truth, it's because the Spirit of God has taught me that. Now, there's always a great concern that we see truth a little differently. And how that all is going to work out in the end, I don't know. But God's got it all under control, I know that. But when I stand up here, all I can do is preach and teach by faith in what I believe that God has shown me as the truth in His Word. And someone else might not see it exactly the same way. And I don't know about that, but I know one thing. If I ever say anything, if anything impresses you, don't think for a second that, boy, isn't Mark Dilley great, or isn't Mark Dilley good, or isn't he a great preacher, or anything like that. It's just not the case. I know a lot of people I'd rather listen to. I can't stand to listen to myself. I mean, I try to critique myself once in a while on those CDs, and I can't get through them. I don't know how you guys can sit there and listen. I really don't. And so I thank God that He's using this opportunity for us to grow in His grace. And so it's all about Him. And it's not done with the wisdom of words. It's done with the gospel and the truth of God's Word. And so Paul says, if you remember, he didn't come to the Corinthians with enticing words of man's wisdom. He came with God's wisdom. And so the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians 1:17. This is so important to understand. For Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It isn't in the deliverance of the message. It isn't in the performance of the preacher. It's in the message that the power of God is made known. And that's what Paul talks about over and over again in his writings. It's not the messenger. When we are accused of making too much of Paul, we're not making too much of the messenger, but we really believe that his message is the message that God commanded him to speak, the message that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to him, particularly today for the Gentiles and their. It isn't a Judeo-Christian faith. It's a body of truth concerning the gospel of the grace of God for the entire world. And it's not based upon Jewish tradition or Jewish teaching or anything else. We worship the same Savior that they do, but we worship it from a different body of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul for us today. And so let me tell you one thing that I want all of you to understand. It isn't important that my name in the bulletin might say Dr. Dilley, Doctor of Theology, PhD, or anything like that at all. What really matters, am I a submitted saint, desirous to do God's will, and to preach and teach the truth of His Word. And so I don't have to have all kinds of training. I don't have to stand up here and put on a big performance of pounding this and going like this and stuff and putting on all kinds of an act. I don't have to come in here with some kind of a clown suit on or something to get your attention. But that's the way that a lot of preaching and teaching is being done today. I've heard people come back from church and say, oh, we just had a wonderful time there today. The pastor came in a cowboy suit and he had two guns and he was shooting balloons and all kinds of stuff like that. And we just had a great time. Well, that's really nice. And you didn't have to pay for it unless you put a little extra in the collection or something. You could have gone downtown and seen a movie maybe. And it might have mentioned God or something. But the real heart of our ministry and message is to make known the gospel of the grace of God. To be able to tell people that Jesus Christ died on that cross and shed His blood so that your sins could be forgiven. And if you'll trust in Him, He will give you eternal life. And you don't have to be a PhD to say that. You don't need to have a PhD to believe that. In fact, Paul says, not many wise, not many powerful, not many preeminent people are going to even believe that. And so how blessed you are today, far beyond the wealthiest person I just discovered. Anybody have any idea who the two wealthiest women in the United States are? No, she isn't even in the ballpark. Sam Walton's widow and his daughter, 23 point something billion.
All in the family.
23, I'm not saying that to make fun of them or anything like that, but I'll tell you right now, I'll ask you this question. Is there anybody in this room that would trade places, and I'm not suggesting they're not saved or anything because I don't know them or anything, but would you sell your salvation that you have in Christ for 23 point something billion dollars?
No way.
Yeah. What would you trade your salvation for? Nothing. There's no price in the world. There is no price in the world that could procure it. It took the very blood of God Himself in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. That 23 billion couldn't forgive one of your sins. But one drop of the Savior's blood paid for them all. That the wisdom of this world is so far skewed because of this is a present evil world. It was asked once when the Olympics were in the United States, they were going around asking people, if you could take a pill and be an Olympic champion, knowing that that pill would kill you in 3 years, would you do it? And many people said yes. Just for the claim of being recognized in this world. Every believer in Jesus Christ holds a far more position of status than the greatest celebrities in this world. It doesn't amount to a thing. As I've said before, and I'll say again, if you've been called to preach the gospel, don't stoop to be president. This is the most amazing privilege to be saved, and that's the message that Paul was preaching today, a message of pure, unadulterated grace of God. And so you don't have to stand up here and impress people with all kinds of wonderful stories. I'm sad to say, as I reflect back on a lot of my training and a lot of way that doing church is done, it's done in the way that the world does things. It's done to try to manipulate or to emotionally involve you in the service. And there may be an emotional response, but I believe that emotional response should come from the Spirit of God as you see truth for the first time for you, or you see truth in a deeper fashion than you've ever seen it before. And the emotional response is praise and worship to God. And that's what is really the wonderful thing about being involved with preaching and teaching the word of truth, is to make it understandable according to the way it is written. And it doesn't have to be in flowery words or the wisdom of words. It has nothing to do with the wisdom of the wise. Look at verse 19 in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1 and verse, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. I, in my unsaved state, thought I was wise, thought I knew a lot. I even thought I knew a lot about God. The truth of the matter was, God brought all that wisdom to nothing when I came to know Him. I mean, I had some knowledge about Him that was biblical, but for most of it, I had it all figured out, and almost everybody today has it figured out in their own mind. You talk to people and they say, well, I have great faith in God. I believe in God. And God's blessing me, and all of these types of things. And then you ask them some questions. Well, what does the Bible say? And, I don't know what the Bible says, but I just have great faith. And I had it all figured out. God and I had it all figured out. I had a guy I was talking to over in the resort, and he said, me and Jesus got this thing all figured out. We got, I can't remember how he worded it. He said something like, we've come to an understanding, something like that. I mean, it's just ridiculous, the wisdom of the wise. And God's going to bring it all down one day. It's going to come crashing in. And I don't say this as a puffed up or anything. It's going to be a sad day. I don't get angry at them, or they don't bother me or anything like that. But my heart aches for them. I want to believe, and you know something? I can't do that for them. All I can do, without the wisdom of words, without the wisdom of the wise, just share the wisdom of God with them and rest in that. And then it's between them and God. And I think that's our responsibility. Every person in this room, if you're saved, you should be able to tell somebody why you're saved. Because you know that Jesus Christ paid it all for you, and He paid it for you also. And if you trust Him, God will give you eternal life. That's how simple it is. Oh, it's too easy. That's the wisdom of the world. That's the wisdom of the wise. It can't be that easy. And that's the struggle we have all the time. And that's what Paul was dealing with continually. And then there's also the wisdom of this world. Let's look at the next verse, 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The wisdom of the world looks at us and thinks we're imbeciles. We're brain dead. Anybody that's a thinking man isn't going to believe that junk. That Bible is a joke and all of that. That's the wisdom of the world. We don't want to let that cause us to get exacerbated. We don't want that to cause us to get angry or anything like that. We, if we really believe what we believe, we can be meek in our faith. We can have a silent confidence to simply share the marvelous truth of God's wisdom. None of this other type of wisdom. And don't let him get to you. I've really been in a lifelong battle since I became a believer to control the beast in me. God doesn't need us to fight his battles for him. He needs us to be loving. He needs us to be caring. He needs us to do his purpose. And that's not to fight his battles. God does all of that. He warns us, put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to stand in that evil day. And so we can do that with confidence and meekness. It's not weakness. It's more strength than anybody that's not saved will ever know. That we can share the gospel. We can take the ridicule. They can't hurt us. The only thing they can hurt in us is our old nature. The only thing that would be offended. And if we've ever come to a place in our life where we know what that's all about, they can't hurt us any longer because we died with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ of all people was willing to transverse the universe, come into this world, this little planet that doesn't amount to anything in all creation, and he came here as God and knowing that they were going to hate him without a cause. And he was going to die on that cross for my sin. And I hope you can say that right today too, that I know he died for all of my sin, and I've been forgiven all of my trespasses. And so who can hurt me now? If I, no matter what they do to me, now I can suffer pain and all of that, but no matter what they do to me, they can't impact my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the more strength, the firmer my roots grow down into the love of Christ, the stronger I'll be able to be on the onslaught of Satan and his minions and the fiery darts of the wicked one that comes to us, sometimes even from other believers. We don't have to get in the battle. All we have to do is share what I believe the Scriptures say. And in that process, I think it's important that we always are sensitive. God, if there's truth here for me, let me learn that truth for your glory. And that's what it's all about. And so Paul goes on to talk about wisdom. Again, he talks about it. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Lucifer, or as we know him, Satan or the devil, was sort of the premier creation of God in the spiritual realm. And he exalted himself and wanted to be like the Most High and was going to exalt his throne above the Most High. And for seven things he says, I will. And so he was cast out of heaven when sin was found in him, or he was anyway separated from God. And when Jesus Christ came into this world, as Paul, we just read here, they crucified him. And it says, I'm thinking two thoughts at the same time, excuse me. But it said that if they would have known about the mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But Satan, in his own wisdom, didn't know that. And in his own wisdom, he thought he was impeding God's plan for the world. And actually, he was playing perfectly in to the hand of God. Jesus Christ was going to have to die on that cross. That was for the redemption of the world. But if Satan would have known how God was going to use that cross in the gospel of the grace of God, in the dispensation of the grace of God, it says they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. And that's the wisdom of this world. They don't understand it. They don't embrace it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. And we've read this just recently. But it's the wisdom of words again. And it's the enticing words of man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2, 4. And my speech, Paul said, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. When you preach the unadulterated gospel of salvation, anybody that responds doesn't respond because of the enticing words. But they respond by the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit and the power of God that impresses upon them the truth of that gospel, and they believe it by faith and are redeemed for all eternity. And man's wisdom, that's what man's wisdom is. Another verse is 2:13. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I remember hearing one of the really popular televangelists when I was younger, first became a Christian shortly after that, and he said that he wanted to be on television and have a television ministry, and so he was observing other television ministries, and the ones that were really flourishing, he wanted to do like they were doing. And his conclusion was the preaching of sin and the sacrifice of Christ doesn't sell. That's not popular. Because that's what the gospel is, an offense. So if we don't preach that, we'll preach these other things and people will send their money and I'll get a big following and all of that. And you don't have to look too far today on television to see very much the same thing. And so, again, how thankful you should be today to have believed the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of your salvation, and to know that it's not like it's being portrayed in so much of Christendom today. And then there's a couple other wisdoms that are negative, but I got to move on. The wisdom of men. Our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the wisdom of the princes of this world. We read about that in 1 Corinthians already. Or fleshly wisdom. It's got nothing to do with that. Now, what's the opposite of wisdom? What? Foolishness. And what has the fool said in his heart? Yeah, now the Bible says there is no God. But there is not in the passage. It's just no God. The foolishness, the fool, the wisdom of this world says no God. Not that there is no God, but no to God. God, what you've made known to us, I'm saying no to. That's the fool. Aren't you thankful that nobody can call you a fool? But you know, Peter was on nasty ground there when the Lord told him, take and eat. What did he say? Not so, Lord. He was on shaky ground. You can't say that today as a believer in Christ and really call yourself a believer if you're going to say no to God. You are a believer. I'm sorry, I'm wording that wrong. But we're going to get to why anybody that's a believer in Christ would say no God today. And if you're ever saying that, you're not wise. But let's go on here. Twice it says the fool has said in his heart, no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. That's in Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1. And then here comes one that I think we got to really think about for a second. Proverbs 28:26. Listen to this. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. There's a scripture, and I didn't put it in my notes, but there's a scripture that says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is what? Death. And that's what's going on in the world today. Before I came to saving faith in Jesus Christ, I thought I believed. I had a faith, but it was one that I had conjured up. It was one that I had created from my previous religion, from my experiences, and from what I wanted it to be. And I put it all together, and that's what I believed. And so when someone might come to me, and I don't ever remember anybody coming to me, but if someone were to come to me, I would put up my hands and say, well, here's what I believe. And I would share with them what I believe. And today when somebody says that to me, and I say, why do you believe that? And their answer inevitably is, well, I don't know, I just believe it. And so when you say, well, the scriptures say, then when it gets touchy. I've shared with you, but I was preaching at this nursing home, and that woman said to me afterwards, she was a visitor, and she says to me, do you really believe that all those people that haven't heard about Christ or that don't believe are going to go to hell? And I started out by saying, well, the Bible says. And she, I don't want to hear what the Bible says. Do you believe that all those people are going to go to hell? And I said, well, the Bible says. No, I don't want to hear what the Bible says. What do you believe? And I said, well, I believe the Bible. And the Bible said. She didn't want a thing to do with it. And I'll guarantee you that most of the people, unless God's calling them and drawing them to you, most people you talk to have that same attitude. I don't care what the Bible says. Here's what I know. And that's what Paul's addressing in this passage. The wisdom of the world, the wisdom of man, all that stuff is laughable foolishness. But we need to be careful that we don't think we're wise in our own understanding or in our own situation. How is that worded in Romans? Do not be wise in your own... There's a word that begins with C. Conceits. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Don't get puffed up about this, because what have you received that was not given to you? If you know this today, it's not because you're a miracle man with super intelligence. It's not because you were so wise that you figured it out. It's not because you studied and everything else, even though some of those things may be true to some extent. But if you got it, it was because God gave it to you. Every good gift comes from God. And if you know anything today about the truth of God's Word, it isn't because you're smarter than the guy next to you. It isn't because you're more devoted than the guy next to you. It's because God has revealed it to you for His purpose and His glory. And He's created you in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them. And so He's giving you knowledge so you can fulfill His purpose. And He gets all the glory for it. And so we don't want to get puffed up. We don't want to look at the world and run them down and tell how terrible they are and how awful their sin is. Their sin's no worse than yours. You just have been blessed by the grace of God to be saved. And what a marvelous gift that is. The wisdom of God has been made known to you. And then Paul says in Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." Now that's written underneath the Jewish relationship with God, but that concept is still true today. The only thing is, today there is no fear of God in the world. There is no fear of the consequences of sin in the world. And perhaps that's a little bit of our fault, because you don't hear preaching about sin. It doesn't sell. You don't hear about a place of eternal punishment. You don't hear about the fact that the vast majority of the people alive today will be separated from God for all eternity. You don't hear that kind of preaching today because that's not comfortable. People don't like it. As I shared with you, I can stand here and say every one of you guys deserve to go to hell. And I won't see one person flinch, because you all knew that. If you're saved, you knew you deserved to go to hell. And that's why you're saved. But I said that in that resort Bible study, and boy, you could see the body language change instantly. And you could see a change in their demeanor instantly. You could see a change in their position immediately, because some of them walked out. They don't want to hear it. I talked to one of them. I said, I saw this person later, and I said, "I saw you get up and walk out the other day, and I wondered if you'd like to tell me why." And she told me why. She said, "I don't believe any of that stuff. I don't believe God's going to send anybody to hell. What kind of God would do that? I want a God of love." He is a God of love, but He's also a God of righteousness and holiness and justice. And He's made it clear. His love has been demonstrated for us. While we were yet sinners, He sent His Son to die for us. How much more love can He demonstrate? But the wisdom of man says, "Well, you aren't talking to me. That's not for me. I don't need that." And that's what Paul's dealing with. These Corinthians, that was probably the New York City of the day. It was on an isthmus between these two bodies of water and all the merchants and everything that were coming from the east going to the west, or from the west going to the east, passed through Corinth. And so it was a thriving metropolis. And Paul went there and he was just overwhelmed with the sin and all of that. They were a Gentile group of people. Remember, they were dogs. They were idol worshipers, all of that. And Paul had a tremendous burden to share the gospel with those people. And all he had to do, he didn't do it with great, exciting words or anything else. He just spoke the truth of the gospel of the grace of God, and people were saved. And that's all we have to do, is speak the truth. One man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. And so our responsibility, I've been involved with people. I remember when I was in Bible college, one of my neighbors was a group at their church. They were called the Fishermen. And every Wednesday night they went out fishing. But they were fishing for souls. And when they got back every Wednesday night at the church, they got together and told how many fish they landed. They said, "You're not fishing unless you catch something." And so it really sounded like they were taking quite a bit of the credit for whatever was transpiring there rather than the Lord. And so I think we have to be very cautious that our job is to be faithful stewards of the mystery. Our job is to be faithful stewards of the gospel of the grace of God, but our job is not to save anybody. Our job is to, as Paul said, pray for him that he might speak boldly as he ought, to make that message clear. And that should be our prayer. And pray for me for that. Pray for one another that we would make that message clear as we ought to speak it. And then we would trust in God to harvest those or to give the increase from what we preach. And so the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. But there's a positive sense in which Paul uses the word wisdom too. And as we read, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 24. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. In Rome, 1 Corinthians 1:24, Paul's talking about his preaching and this message. It's foolishness to those that are lost. But he goes on to say, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." The plan that God ordained from before the creation of the world concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that plan and that message is the very power of God unto salvation. Like Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so that message has in it, through the Spirit of God, the very power of God. It doesn't depend on our eloquence. It doesn't depend on our devotion or anything else. It just needs to be presented. And God brings the power with it. And with that comes the wisdom of God. And then 1 Corinthians 1:30. "For us as believers in Jesus Christ has taken on the role, the preeminent, the sole role of importance." And so in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Paul says, "But of him," referring to God again, "are ye in Christ Jesus." Now again, it's so important, and we talked in Bible study this morning about fundamentals and going over it and over and over it. It's so important. How did these people get into Christ Jesus? By believing the gospel, something happened. When they believed the gospel, that when they heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, what happened? You were baptized by one Spirit into one body. You were baptized into the body of Christ. And that is your existence today. You stand in grace in the body of Christ. And nothing can ever extricate you. Is that the word? Pretty big for my vocabulary. Nothing can ever get you out of that. Nothing. Because God has sealed you there with that Spirit, who is your seal. What a marvelous gospel. Only the wisdom of God. Man could never think it up. Man could have never imagined that. I remember sharing the gospel with an older gentleman, and he was dying of cancer. And he said, I can't imagine giving my son to die for somebody that didn't deserve it. He said, I just can't believe that. I couldn't do it. And that was his wisdom. He was a very wise man and all of that, very successful man. But he did put his faith in Christ, according to himself, later. I remember another guy that kept laughing about it. Every time we'd share it, his wife was a believer, and she was a little rough on him once in a while. She'd tell him, I don't want you to die before me, and I know you're going to hell. Or she'd say, I don't want me to die before you and not know whether you're going to go to hell or not, or to heaven. And he'd, God's never done anything for me. You guys talk about God doing everything good for you. He's never done anything for me. He didn't put any food on my table. He didn't go to work for me. He didn't, but over time, just sharing the truth, sharing the truth. I was in the hospital with him, and he was seriously ill, and he said, you know, I believe that Jesus died for me. It's the power of God. It's not us. It's not our skills. It's not our polish or our flourish or anything else. It's just simply the truth of God's Word, and that's the wisdom of God. And it's a wisdom today that man just can't grasp on his own. Not only he couldn't imagine it, like we're going to read it and we won't get to it today, but eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The world has no concept of salvation. They know that Christ died on the cross. They know that they talk about his resurrection, but they don't believe it. They don't understand it. They don't comprehend it. Their eyes haven't seen it. But believers' eyes have seen it. Let's look at what Paul says to the Corinthians, or the Galatians, I mean. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Paul had gone there and shared the truth of God's word with them, the gospel of their salvation, and they understood it. They saw the reality of the cross of Jesus Christ. They understood that he was crucified. They could see that right before their eyes. Now, that I don't think that means they all had a vision, but in their mental eyes, they could see that and understand it. But the eye of the wisdom of man, or the eye of the unsaved man, that he doesn't see it yet. It's foolishness to him. It's an offense to him. And nor ear heard. Every believer in Jesus Christ has heard it. Every believer in Jesus Christ has heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. Now again, it doesn't necessarily mean audibly, but you've heard it in your mind. You may have read it, but you processed it in your mind and you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Neither have entered into the heart of man. It changed you. They say that being saved is only a distance of 18 inches, and that seems a little long. For me, I'm short, maybe 12 inches, from your head to your heart. And that's sort of a misnomer because it's really neither one. It's a faith that comes by believing the truth of the gospel. It's not in that glob of red meat in the middle of you or something like that. It's in your very being, in your soul, that you have believed the gospel of salvation. And when you heard that, you trusted it, and God guaranteed it for all eternity. And so it was Paul's prayer in his epistles that we would understand this wisdom. And that's what it's all about today. Believing, I'll tell you what wisdom is. Believing God in what He says. Believing what God has said to us through Paul's writings. Paul again said what he preached was the wisdom of God, which was the mystery. And when we believe what Paul tells us, that's using wisdom. We're accepting the wisdom of God. And so Paul prays in Ephesians, let's go there, chapter 1, and we'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. And I pray as we read this that you will read it thinking of yourself. Paul says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And here's what he's going to mention. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you." Now he's speaking to believers, saved people. "May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Again, that I believe that Paul's talking primarily about the content of his message, and that they would have an wisdom and an illumination to those things. He goes on to say, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and finally, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." It's been a continually growing process in my life, and it's been a process of breaking down my pride, breaking down my self-esteem, because when we're raised in the wisdom of this world, we're raised to think that we can do anything we set our mind to. We can be successful in any endeavor. If we can dream it, we can do it, and all this type of thing. And so that was sort of the wisdom that prevailed in my life. As a coach and as a teacher and all of those things, I was using the world's wisdom to exalt my position and my standing in the world. And it was done by my work, by the way that I did things. And it wasn't always ethical that the way I did them. It was just because that's how you climbed what they call the ladder of success. And that's the wisdom of this world. And that is probably the most difficult thing for believers to overcome in their walk with the Lord, is to try to approach their spiritual walk. And I can guarantee you, if you watch televangelists or a lot of preachers, that they too teach about the same thing. That now that God has saved you, get out there and show Him He got the right man for the job. Get out there and start doing things for God. And they got this nice little ditty about this life will soon be passed and only those things done for Christ will last. So get out there and start doing a lot of things for Christ. And so we're really taking the world's wisdom and trying to apply it again into God's wisdom. And the truth of the matter is, God's wisdom is that it's His power that does it. That it's not what you do for Christ that will last, that what is what Christ does in you and through you that will last. And so God's wisdom is, throughout all the Bible, is not you do this for me. God asks in the Bible, you submit yourself to me, you trust in me, and I will do it. And that's the hardest thing for us to do. Because we say, okay, God, I'm committing it to you. And if he doesn't act in the next 35 minutes, I better take it over because I don't think you're hearing me. We take it all upon ourselves then, right away, because we are under this time frame in this world. And the more I study, and that's what I'm going to preach on for the next couple of weeks when I get back, is what Paul's scriptures teach about how to live by faith in God's wisdom and in God's power, and to rest in that. Because the Bible teaches over and over again, God is faithful and he will do it. He's working in every believer to will first. And then when you have that will to do, and it's all by his grace that it's going to be accomplished, and when it's all done, there will not be one person raising his hand and saying, I did more than you did. A lot of people think they're doing more than somebody else. A lot of people think they know more than somebody else. If you know anything that somebody else doesn't know and it's the truth, it's not because you're smarter than they are, like I said. It's not because you've studied more. It's because God has revealed that truth to you. And so there's no place for us to be wise in our own conceits, but to be overwhelmed with thanksgiving, to be overwhelmed with privilege that God has counted you worthy to be one of his ministers of reconciliation. And praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, what a glorious gospel you've made known for us. And Lord, we've just scratched the surface in truly understanding that. But Lord, you and you alone are the one that works all things after the counsels of your own will, that works all things together for good to them that love you, to them that are called according to your purpose. And so, Lord, I pray that each person here today will humble themselves and simply say, Lord, I want your wisdom in my life. I want to know you. I want to fulfill your purpose for my life. And in that process, you'd bring us to a place where we're willing to say, whether I live or whether I die, your will is all that matters. And we thank you for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.